right, everybody, welcome to the 100th big episode of the Puzzle Warriors 3. As always, I am the only one, also known as Craig, with me, KS72, Sneaky Beat 15, it's Ray, it's Ian. Hello, Cuds.
Hello.
Fanfare, trumpets.
I'll add that in later.
joining us live is our friends over at Demiurge. We got Anthony, we got Patch, and we got art director Tim Spangler for the first time. Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
If you're listening along on the live stream and participating on Discord, we will be taking some live questions shortly. People with good questions, they may not get good answers, but if you got a good question, some prizes could be coming your way. First out the gate, I just want to cover the new news before we can get onto more of the fun stuff. I suppose this is fun stuff. I don't know.
This was definitely fun.
Yeah, big news. Vaulting changes have arrived. This seems to be a really sweet kind of compromise between the old system and the new system. So now you got kind of a 50% chance of one of the new 12 and a 50% chance of one of the older.
Oh, compromise.
Your oldest nemesis?
Yes. But so tell me more. Because I don't know what's going on.
The vintage characters are now in the token packs. So packs that have 3 stars in them will now contain all the 3-star characters instead of just the newest 20. In addition, packs that have 4 stars in them will contain the latest 12, as well as all other non-limited 4 stars. The chance to pull a 4-star is split evenly between latest and vintage. So it's 50-50 that you'll get, you know, one of the old ones or one of the new ones.
Okay.
So this, again, helps you to accelerate your covering of the newest people while giving the folks who are a little dissatisfied about it being harder to get the older covers. Now that option is back. So this starts with the Mind Gem season, which is in what, a couple days, right?
I don't know. If only there was someone who knew.
Yeah. It starts tonight.
Mind Gem season officially starts in a hour-ish, but the changes to the cover stores has been live since 6 or so hours ago.
No, there you go. I haven't bought any covers since then, so.
Shame on you.
Yeah. other news, Bobby, who is still not Dazzler, is now in the game. So Mockingbird has made her appearance. We'll quickly fly through here, and then we can try and get some comments on this and the other character changes. So Mockingbird's first ability is called Bombshell. For 9 red, she makes a couple of bomb tiles that are fortified countdown tiles. If it expires when there's another one on the board, it blows up and damages the enemy team. If there's only one of them on the board, it blows up anyway, does less damage, but then also damages Mockingbird. Her second power is the one it seems like it's going to be the one to play with. It's called Opportunist. It's a yellow passive. If the enemy matches 4 or more of an AP color and the player has AP in that color, including team ups, you get to fire off a random friendly power at no cost. If you don't have enough, then the team gains AP in the color that was matched. So that's a pretty sweet AP generator, and also you get free attacks. So that sounds awesome. And Mockingbird's final power is Secret Mission for 8 purple. Mockingbird destroys some of the enemy's strongest color and generates AP in the player team's strongest color. It has a side passive where if the player has some AP in the team's strongest color, give friendly matches more damage. So she sounds like she's going to be really good out the gate here. I would probably look at 3-5-5 just from the sounds of it, but yellow and purple sound like they're going to be super nice. First impression.
I think I was looking forward to getting Vulture in the packs, and now I don't know. I think I'm going to have to wait until she's in there to try and splurge.
Sorry, Alpha Team's first question was, what if the free attack is fastball special? Bad things ensue. To go along with the new character, we also have changes to our good friend Rai Will.i.ams and to Mordo. So Rai gets more health. Her powers are now changed. Magnetic repulsors now does some damage. Still moves tiles around, but then it converts them to red basic tiles. And they become charged at levels 4 and 5. So that's pretty sweet. You get to get rid of the special tiles, move them to the center, and then make them red to fire off your red power. You got your remote control gauntlets. A little change. It now deals damage to all enemies that are not in front, kind of similar to Peggy's stun. If you're down to 1 enemy, it deals twice the damage. So that's pretty sweet. And her green power is Selfless Intervention. Power deals damage to targets, sending them airborne for 3 turns at power level 5. If there are at least 4 enemy special tiles, then Rai Rai is also sent airborne. So those sound like pretty sweet changes there. Probably going 3-5-5 for that one as well.
Yeah, so I don't want to comment too much because I don't want to throw off the questions that we're going to be doing. So I'm
all right, fine. Finally, Mordo has had his health reduced in the reverse. Staff of the Living Tribunal deal damage to convert black basic tiles to charge black, 4 of them at level 5, or deal damage to the opponent for each black charge tile if there are 4 or more black charge tiles on the board. Man, lack of sleep had caught up to me. I can't speak. The Vaulting Boots of Valtor now deal 18% more damage than they did before, so that's nice of them. And Power with Purpose deals damage for each AP in the enemy's highest AP pool, then destroys AP from that color. So you can deal some damage and get rid of 5 AP at power level 5. So that's pretty nice. You get to do damage to them and then also reduce what their attack is coming. So good changes all around, say I. And apparently not Ray, because he doesn't want to comment.
No, I can comment on that. I think I really like all these changes.
So, speaking of all these changes, hey, Patch, what's up with all these changes?
Well, we wanted to make the characters a little more useful and have a little bit more utility. So actually when rebalancing Riri, one of the things that I actually wanted to do, so I did increase her health because she is an Iron Man, and before she had like pretty low health, which didn't really make sense because she wasn't exactly glass cannon. So I decided to raise her health to more respectable Iron Man levels. But then what I, in order to synergize with that, what I wanted to do with her green ability, I actually wanted her airborne condition to be if when you fire the ability, if you have less health than your opponent, you would go airborne. So it would kind of be like she deals damage and sends the enemy airborne, and then if you had less health than your opponent, the armor would react, and then you would also get airborne. But that wasn't technically possible with our current tech. So then I changed it to be if there's a threshold of enemy special tiles.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yep. And then same with Mordo. He had a whole bunch of health that I didn't think was necessary for the character. So I brought him down to a more reasonable level and then gave him a bit more damage output for that.
Good deal. Did you also work on Bobby?
Yes, I did. That was actually a really fun character. I was a huge fan of her series, the one that the cover is based on. I really, really love that run. I really love her character. I'm wondering, actually, if anyone yet has found the secret art.
Yeah.
Because usually when the Marvel.com articles go out, they post in the images the art sheet with all the poses, and they miss one. So I'm wondering yet. I haven't seen anyone mention it yet. I'm wondering if they found the alternate pose.
Oh.
Hmm.
I don't see it on the piecing together at all, yeah.
That's interesting. But I do have a question about her art, actually. Did you guys get much feedback in the way of the cover? Because I've seen some negative posts, which I think are ridiculous, for her cover. The ask me about feminism?
Yeah, ask me about the feminist agenda. We absolutely 100% wanted that to be her cover. We think it, especially for this run of the comic, totally suits her character. And Marvel was actually really behind us on that, thinking that it had a, what was the phrase they use?
Oh.
It had like good cultural weight or something.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it was funny because the art team and the design team came to me with that cover. I like laughed at them like, oh yeah, right. You want this cover? And like, no, we're very serious. We want this. I'm like, okay, I'll send it to Marvel. Let's see what they say. And I was just amazed and it was just awesome how Marvel was very receptive to doing that as well.
Nice.
It's kind of awesome how it all kind of came together like that.
Cool. I mean, I think it's very appropriate for Bobby. So,
yeah, I'm still sad that their spinoff series got canceled from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Yeah, that was what Marvel wanted. Yeah.
So I don't know how we want to do the questions, but we've got some questions coming up on Discord. Do we want to just go into those?
Yeah. Sure.
So Jordan from Jersey, I wanted to ask this. What change did you make to the game where you braced for maximum complaining? Because he says you're often in a no-win situation. Anytime you make a change, some people are going to hate it no matter what you do, really. So was there a change that you had put in that you were just knew there was going to be complaining about?
Is there any you can think of?
Oh, Melner.
Well, we braced for maximum complaining, and I think we got quite a lot of complaining.
I think, when we originally started doing all those regular series of character rebalances, we did Silver Surfer and Old Man Logan, but that's when we decided that we wanted to focus on buffs for the time being. So then, like, the next 6 months of character rebalances were all buffs, but we had that Old Man Logan nerf in our back pocket because we knew that eventually it would be better for the health of the game to actually release that. Mm. But we knew that a lot of people wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was really surprised at the because I even saw some complaints earlier today about the vaulting changes. And to me, I don't understand that at all, because I think that's a really good compromise that you guys just put in place. So I guess
I was expecting a more universal pushback for that change, and I've been somewhat pleasantly surprised that it seems to be very well received.
Good.
So we got a question from Workshops. Huge fan of the design art for Peggy. Any chance of getting another character from scratch?
Well, the Peggy change was very situational. That was, I think we've talked about it on a podcast before, where
Marvel
kind of came to us and said, hey, we want you to make this brand new character. And we were kind of excited to do that. But at this point, they haven't approached us to do something similar.
Wasn't that part of Captain America's 75th?
Yeah.
They did their own version.
Yeah. All the Marvel games got to put in their own spin on Captain America.
That's right.
And ours was the best.
Yes.
That's right. You have to get some Hulk anniversary, and then you can make some weird, Purple Hulk or something.
I mean, I can't speak for Tim, but if they came to us with something like that, I'm sure RT would be ecstatic.
It sounds like that would be fun. There was I'm trying to breeze back through some of these questions for people who are going to be on the show. One of the questions from Song of Fire was, what's the process like for getting your cover choices approved by Marvel? So people like Vulture or Peggy, who didn't have, an actual comic book art, to go off of so much.
What a perfect question for Tim.
Okay. Well, if you need covers like that don't exist, what usually happens is we try to come up with our own, and we look around. So for the Vulture one, we can speak about that. We talked to Marvel and asked if they had anything promotional that we could look at to try to tie into. And in that case, they had some merch-related guides that they gave us, and we were able to take cues from that, but still work in our character art style into it. We did a custom one for Mordo. That was the first one when I was on the team that we did. And for that, we really, because our character was going to be so prominently featured and really large, we really focused on the mysticism and tried to look at cover styles that would fit our actual art style. And then from there, what we do is same thing we do with our characters. So we'll send work in progress along the way. Sometimes those are black and white grayscale just to get a feel early for how they will react to it. Other times, we'll just go straight to color flats and do work in progress where it's just kind of loose and send it to them just to get a gut check. Hey, how's this feeling to you? And then from there, we just have a back and forth and try to get it approved and make sure that Patch or whoever the designer is feels like it's representing the character well.
Cool. Thank you much.
I think there are also some times where if there's relevant other promotional art that would work, we can use that. So for Iron Fist, we were really close to using one of the promotional Netflix posters as his cover. But then I think it was almost last minute, they had the cover, was it from San Diego Comic-Con or something?
It was from New York Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con that was the variant actual Netflix cover with Iron Fist on it that we ended up getting to use.
Yeah, Marvel's more than happy to provide us with covers or promotional posters for characters that don't really have a comic that fits their style.
That's nice of them.
Yeah.
That seems like it would make your job a little bit easier.
Yes. Well, I think that's something it's hard to imagine is how much work goes into making a custom cover. I mean, we like doing it, but boy, it's a lot of work.
If only you could get, you know, that pristine old Dazzler cover back into this game, because that'll really it'll be so easy. I mean, you could just paste it right in there.
You are my least favorite host, Craig.
That's true story. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question, but Denda McGlynn asked, Patch, can you speak a little bit about the design process in terms of power between hit points, damage, match damage, strength of the power, that sort of thing? Now, I believe we've asked this question before, and the answer is no. But yeah. I'm going to ask anyway. Anything you want to say about that? Yeah.
Sorry, what exactly was the question again? It was dictates the different types of like damage or whatever?
Yeah, what's the design process in terms of balancing the power between hit points, damage, that sort of thing?
I mean, at the very highest level, we do allow for higher damage budgets for characters with lower health. That kind of like creates like glass cannon versus tank feel. And so characters with higher health, you know, generally have lower damage. But things like any powers that have to do with tile manipulation or AP generation, those don't necessarily scale very well with different covers and levels. So it's kind of harder to see that correlation. But when you're talking about straight damage, that's generally the correlation that we have. And then we have our own system for like balancing, you know, different kinds of mechanics and putting those all together.
Right, right.
There's a good question here from Rico. And he says, when you develop a new character, how long is the typical development cycle and how many people get involved, you know, from the whole thing of concept to getting the art done to figuring out the powers to.
What are we at? Like 6 to 8 weeks? I think it's something similar to us. Like when Mockingbird, when she came out today, I think we started working on her as early as like 6 or 8 weeks ago. And as for like how many people are working on it, kind of depends on the scope of the character. So there's at least one designer that owns the character. We have our artist who works with Tim, the art director, to make sure that the art's going in the same direction. And often, like if it's a character with like brand new abilities that don't exist in the game, there'll be an engineer assigned. And those are like the core members of creating that character. Oh, yes, I forget. We have as soon as the art is done, we also have a person who works on doing the VFX part and sometimes getting the sound effects in it as well. So you have like 3 or 4 core people, but like the entire team works on the character in one way or the other. Like my part is making sure that the character is bundled up and given to Marvel for approvals and make sure we do the in-game promotions and stuff like that. But yeah, the entire team works on it in one capacity or the other. For fun, I will put a design that Patch worked on in the Discord channel. Which one do you want? We have Cloak. Yes, we have Cloak and Dagger. We have Iron Fist. We have Captain Marvel. We have Medusa and Wasp.
I think for context, whenever we start a character, the first thing that happens is the design team has a kickoff meeting. That's where we decide, or usually, depending on the character, we either already know what character slash variant we're doing, or we know what character we want to do, but are deciding on the variant. But we'll go into the meeting, basically give some background on the character, just so all the designers know like who we're working on, like their important character traits, things that would be like really important that we have to make sure like this comes across in the character design. And then we talk a little bit about their color strengths. So we have like a little, our color philosophy, we talk about what colors we think would make sense for their powers. And usually different variants might give off different feels. So like Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, that specific variant, she's a lot more, what's the word? She's a lot more like straightforward, no nonsense, a little bit, not conceited, I'm trying to think of the right word, but like she has, is more like self-confident, I guess. So that comes across a little bit as more black. So we put black as her top color for that because she'll frequently, you know, disregard what other people are saying because she thinks that she knows what's best. And so then after that, we'll talk about what mechanics we actually would think would fit for the character, what kind of stories you want to tell, which is something like the bits of the flavor text of the abilities, like what story do we want this ability to do with regard to the mechanics. So we're basically just like, it's a giant brainstorm session. Yeah, so these boards that Anthony is showing are basically the end of our brainstorm sessions for some characters.
I like the fact that it's got Medusa's like full name there. It's like Medusa Lith, a Macklin, Boltagon. That is a detailed going right there.
I think the running joke was I wanted this to be her full in-game name.
What was Black Bolt's full name?
Blackagar Boltagon.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was shot down on having those as the full character name.
So we got a real quick question. Was Mockingbird, this is from Grinch McScrooge, was Mockingbird a dev option or was it mandated from the home office?
No, it was a dev option, one that was not initially supported by all devs, but later when the art was coming through was fully embraced by all devs.
Sorry, it really sounded like Anthony just put the squeeze on everybody. You like it, don't you? Don't you?
No, we had a couple prominent detractors, but they were turned around, and we are all much better off for it.
Sorry, that was funny.
Sorry, no. So that will segue into a question that I saw briefly. I want to say it was Jordan from Jersey. Wanted to know if Patch or Anthony or if any of you guys, even though you have seemingly unlimited powers, do you guys have any characters in the game that are like your version of Dazzler, like never actually going to be in the game, but boy, you really wish they were?
That's not fair. They get to make the characters.
Well, maybe they have some sort of restrictions that are preventing them from doing something they really enjoy.
I mean, mine was Cloak and Dagger, but then they actually got in the game.
I think you came up with like 12 abilities for them before they were
accepted. Yeah, I came up with basically like 8 full character designs for them before we had even like decided that they were going to be in the game. Because every time they were on the schedule, they just got pushed out further and further and further. And we were like, maybe we'll do it for the TV show. The TV show's not coming out for another year. So then I managed to get them in early.
Well played.
Patch is notorious for sneaking things or characters into the game. Very good at that.
Very sneaky.
So I'm going to combine a couple questions here. Grumpy Smurf asked, is it Rai Rai or Riri? Now, the answer to that is you can blame Craig because it's actually Riri Williams, but his pet name is Rai Rai Will-I-Ams, which is a WKRP in Cincinnati reference. So not everybody's going to get that reference.
Thank goodness.
If you're not old enough to remember WKRP, you should go back and watch it. It's a good show.
Then there was a follow-up question, and I don't remember who asked it. But the question is there any of the character nicknames that you really like? Anyone? Patch? Anthony?
What, our character nicknames?
Yeah.
We didn't come up with all of them.
Community.
Yeah.
The community provides. Sometimes they're not slanderous.
I don't remember what some of them are.
I mean, like, Foulcap is not a very...
No. That's
Nope, it's Falcon America.
Hmm. All right, well, none of them stand out. I just thought I'd ask the question.
I mean, yours are mostly puzzling to us. Like, what is the Dokken? What do you call him? The something? The Dream Warrior? The
Dream Warrior.
Oh, that's their only hit song.
Because of Dokken, the band Dokken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wrote the song for Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Dokken's big hit was the Dream Warriors, or Dream Warriors ain't gonna dream no more. So I'm sure I've sung that once or twice.
Looking at Discord, I can say that we don't love Hobo Fist.
Also the Lazy Thor thing. In game, the difference between 2-star Thor and 3-star Thor is that 3-star Thor has sleeves. So all of the Dokken says Thor sleeves.
I don't think I've ever noticed that, but now I'm not going to be able to not see it. Oh, that's what makes you more powerful. You get sleeves. I got to pull this up. Hold on, I got to go into the game now. Look at this. Look at these covers.
I got a question from Cactus Jackie. Says, "Who is Demiurge's favorite MPQ character, and why is it Gwenpool?" Does anybody have a favorite character? Like, I guess
Patch clearly likes Cloak and Dagger.
Right.
Does it have to be in the game?
Or is it favorite character in the game, or is it favorite character Marvel character?
I'm open to all those answers.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll start with in-game character. Do you have besides Medusa and Punisher and all the other characters that you've created, what other your favorite characters?
Not my characters.
All right. It looks like it's going to be easier to answer what characters aren't in the game. What is your favorite character, Tim?
My favorite character that's not in the game would be Adam Warlock.
Ooh, nice.
He's coming.
Yeah, that's only a matter of time.
Believe me, every single time the designers talk about characters upcoming, I interject that name.
You got to wait for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I think for both a favorite Marvel character and favorite character in the game that I didn't do would be probably Kamala Khan.
Interesting. Can't say I've ever read a Kamala Khan comic.
They're very good.
I've read part of them online, but I don't know. Having a young girl, it doesn't really entice me into the story right away. Having a teenage girl, I don't really relate that much. But
I don't know who Kamala Khan is outside of this game.
I think my favorite character would be Ghost Rider, and I just wish I could play with him more. I remember like when we were making that character, I was just like so in awe. I'm like, oh, this character is awesome. I can't wait to play him. And was mildly sad when he was like a one-hit wonder.
I've been listening to this podcast about the X-Men, and they mentioned a group that, boy, you really need to get into this game. So apparently there was a comic book team called Team America, which was just created to sell off old Evel Knievel toys after Evel Knievel got put in jail. So apparently their mutant power is, there's five of them, and their mutant power is to go unconscious and to have a spirit like take over somebody else's body, not one of theirs, a random other person's, who becomes a better motorcycle driver than the five of them combined. That's their mutant power. This sounds like the greatest thing of all time.
Easily the worst thing of all time.
Like, yeah. These were like recurring characters that came into like five or six different Marvel comics.
Yeah, I'm
like, your mutant power is to get together with four other dudes and pass out to make another guy who does what you do already and just ride motorcycles.
I feel lesser for having heard that. I was already feeling bummed out that Anthony felt the same way I did about Ghost Rider, and then you piled that on top of it. So I was so excited. I was like, he is going to be amazing. And then I was like, oh, he just has one power that you use to nuke Galactus, and that's it.
He's useful other places.
I'm sure he is. That seems to be the consensus.
I got to say, I am so way behind on questions that this is really ridiculous.
And we haven't actually given any prizes yet either. We've been kind of mean about that.
You guys are keeping track of everyone, right?
Totally.
I'm keeping track of a ton of questions, but
Ray's doing a job.
Everyone? I don't know. So we kind of covered some of the questions already. Here's an easy one. Are you guys going to be at Gen Con again?
No, I believe D3 will be, though.
Okay. See, that was an easy one. So, we have a question from Thanos. he asks, we've had two game modes from the beginning. Any plans on a new game mode ever?
Sorry, could you repeat the question real quick?
There have been two game modes, PvP and PvE. Any plans on a new game mode?
What would it be?
I don't have any idea.
Oh.
I didn't ask the question.
Wasn't Ray's question.
Sorry.
Like they come up from time to time, but like unfortunately we don't have anything really to announce at this point.
Sure.
I mean, like we've talked about like doing like a synchronous one, like if you've played the Xbox or PlayStation version of the game where you can like go head to head, and you know, we've talked about that, but you know, nothing, as I said, is really we can announce at this point.
Sure.
Anything
that seems like it would be difficult to do.
Right. Anything like Alliance Wars or something where I can directly target another player?
Again, like I think we've done really early discussions with stuff like that.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's always
Noble Eagle asks, he was going to ask, what you plan on do to make old 4-stars more accessible, but since you've already answered that with today's announcement, he thought he would ask, would you rather fight one Hulk-sized Howard the Duck or 10 Howard the Duck-sized Hulks?
Say that again? What are the options?
Would you rather fight one Hulk-sized Howard the Duck or 10 Howard-sized Hulks?
Oh, one Hulk-sized Howard.
Yeah,
that's easy.
You don't want 10 mini Hulks.
10 mini Hulks for the universe.
Holy smokes. That totally is what propels you into the future where with Old Man Meatbag.
Yeah.
I mean, the Banner Clan just starts eating people, you know, live. Like, you can't have that.
Yeah, 10 mini Hulks is terrible.
Man. I can't imagine.
Reckless question. You owe the devs a prize for that one.
Jenda McGlynn asked, "Hey Tim, this question is for you. How much reference material do you assemble when designing artwork?" He's curious about how much you had to assemble from little snippets in advance of like movie trailers. How much do you actually see the end movie these characters are based on?
Okay, well, I'll kind of give you two answers. So, if it's a non-film character, what happens is I usually talk to the designer about which version of the character they're thinking about. And then I go and grab tons and tons and tons of reference. And with that reference, it'll be pose reference. It will be like different views of the character to get an idea of what their costume looks like, what their face looks like. And then I put together like a reference board, which is like all different sized shots in one image, like a big poster. And then I send that to Anthony and he sends it to Marvel, so that we can agree on costume details, things like hair color, weaponry, and things like that. Now, if it is a character from the movie, usually what happens is we have two things that happen. We have reference that we're sent from Disney that's on like a secure server and everything that we look at. And this is sort of behind the scenes photography, let's say. I had the same thing when I worked at Disney, where they basically do like color keys, color reference of characters' outfits and their weapons and everything that goes along with the character. And we get that, and usually it's like a full 360. So you get like 8 different shots of Star-Lord, let's say. And it'll be like front, back, three-quarter, side. It'll be his weapons, his boots. It'll be his mask. And so we get all of that, but we have very specific security measures there. So we can go in and sketch, but we can't take any of that stuff with us because it's very sensitive. So when you mention things like, do you take stills from the trailer and whatnot? Yes, we do. But what we do with that is we usually use things like that to guide a conversation. So what we would do would be, hey, in the last Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, we saw for the first time the suit light up. And that meant that it was more Stark enhanced, let's say. So I would take screenshots of that, send it to Anthony. I would take screenshots of the Vulture's harness coming off and him getting onto the wings so that we could try to figure out what the actual wingspan is, because we were seeing discrepancies from what would be out in the marketplace in terms of merch versus the trailer. So we were trying to get a feel for how massive those wings were. So it's a lot of like targeted reference from the trailer to try to understand, is this the scale that we should be aiming for? And then Anthony guides those conversations from there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Very detailed. Hey, as a side question for you, do you have a favorite comic book artist? I'm just curious.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to butcher his name. Okay, but it is Marko Jurecek. I'm not sure I'm saying his name right. But if you were to Google Marko Djur, he'll probably come up real quick. He is by far my favorite. There is I can't say it right. I will butcher it. But the cool thing about him, if anybody here knows about him, is that he actually was posting his – somebody asked him to put up online his version of the X-Men. And Marvel saw it and then hired him to do covers based upon that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you're probably familiar. Like, if you remember when Thanos had his little short series, it's like a graphic novel or whatever, which was a conglomeration of, like, you know, 6 to 8 issues or whatever. He did the covers for that. He has his own art book that's, like, the art of Marko. And it's Infinity. He did the cover for Infinity that features Thanos on it. He's done a lot of stuff with Daredevil, Thor. He does an incredible Hulk. Funny, but he does do an incredible Hulk. with sort of the Gladiator Hulk and the, yeah. If you did like Marco Hulk, the first image that you see has like Red Hulk, She-Hulk, and like all the versions. And when I saw that, I was like, this is my favorite artist ever. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm checking out some of his art online here. You can buy it at splashpageart.com.
The cool thing about his art book is that he shows you his like whole process from sketch to refined line work into color and then into final painting, which is just spectacular. We ended up buying that book for the studio here just to be inspired by it and look at his techniques.
Yeah, it looks more gritty than a lot of the other stuff you see.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like sometimes the art and comic books tends to, I don't know, sometimes it kind of falls into a niche where it's kind of all the same for a little while. And then, you know, you'll finally get one book that changes the art style some and, you know, kind of pops more than the other titles.
So, quick question. One-Eyed Jack wanted to know if there are any plans for five-star covers to become rewards in the PvE and or PvP progression.
No comment?
Okay. That is an acceptable answer.
That would be so many points.
Yeah, it would. So, Alpha Team, I like this question. Since we know Dazzler isn't going to be an option, did you put her in the survey to tease Craig or just a tip of the hat to him?
Did I ever tell you guys how I almost got Dazzler into the game?
Yeah, no. Oh, you go ahead. Tell the story. I know the story.
So, for April Fool's Day, I don't know if anyone knows, but I'm the one who puts those covers into the game. I pick them out and whatnot. So we did the Young Variant covers this time around.
Right.
There is a A-Team Young Variant cover that has Dazzler on the front. And I almost got that into the game under Medusa. So I almost got Dazzler into the game for you.
I mean, speaking of Medusa covers, one of my favorite comic artists, Phil Noto, he did this really beautiful cover for Medusa that it looks like it's the cover of like a 70s magazine. It says Inhuman, the Adeline magazine. And it's just like a full portrait of Medusa surrounded by her hair. And that, I really, really love that cover. And it was really close to being the one we used for the game.
Yeah, I don't remember. Why didn't we use that one?
I don't remember either. But yeah, I think because I found the Women of Power one that's currently there. And that one had a lot more energy to it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm curious about the answer. The Shard Attack on here asks, Deadpool, the 3-star Deadpool, makes people bleed with red. Was the bleeding effect ever planned to be expanded on? Could you do anything else in the future?
So this character came out before any of us started.
Okay.
That character has a lot of interesting things that are very unique to that character. So I think that character was like just completely made to be a very different character from all the others, kind of like represent who Deadpool is. So I don't think we had plans to expand on it any further, unfortunately. If I remember correctly, the way that effect looks, he's supposed to be attacking the health bar, not the character.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, now I get it. See, when I originally saw that effect, I thought it had some sort of effect where wherever that slash mark was, I could no longer heal beyond that mark. And it never did anything. And I was like, all right, it's Deadpool. Go for it and go nuts.
Yeah, that whole break in the fourth wall thing, you can get away with a whole lot.
Enough, we're caught up.
Well, I'm mostly caught up, but I've still got a ton of questions. So I'm going to try and
keep rolling as long as you're rating these down so we can pick some winners.
Sure. Skrognog Gutentag, just because I love the name. He asks, how do you decide to balance the colors on new characters? So basically, I think what colors you're picking for them. And he also asked, can we get a feature on character select screen of seeing the character's colors?
You can pick your rainbow team right from the selection screen, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not exactly sure what screen he was referring to. I was
good,
hoping
you did. I was Oh, that was a good gambit, but I was like, the colors are there.
Yeah, when you're selecting your characters, you can see the colors, so maybe he can respond here and see what he was asking. But in the first question, how do you decide the balance of the colors on the new character?
Yeah, so when we're designing the character, like when we're in the kickoff meeting, one of the things to talk about is what colors we think make sense for that character, and that, for the most part, is the most important thing. So we'll talk about the, you know, personality traits of the character, the nature of their abilities, and that'll determine. And then we kind of rank the colors. So like Wasp, for example, she's, you know, very team oriented. So her yellow is a good color for her. She
I'll post the design board of Wasp.
Yeah.
And you can kind of talk about it from there.
Or for example, blue is a color that we use to kind of show both sides of like mystical or magic, which is why Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch have it, but also intellect or technology. So Hulk, for example, doesn't usually have blue, but Bruce Banner, being, you know, a human scientist, blue is one of his colors.
Right.
So that's definitely like one of the first things that we talk about when designing a character. And secondary to that is we look at what color combinations already exist in the tier and what is missing or like what spaces can we fill. And then we might tweak one or two colors based on that. But for the most part, the what we think their true colors should be, I guess, is more important.
Nice. I think that answers the question well.
I think so. Now, within those scopes, I obviously you're free to make whatever changes you want, but when the character power develops from, you know, the character traits and the character background and like that, if you want a specific character ability and it doesn't fit in with colors that traditionally have that ability, do you change them? Like, if you're going to give a character and the character is going to do stun in the game, does it have to be blue?
That's a good question. Most of the time, we think of the colors separately from like what mechanics we want them to do, because those usually mesh in some way. But sometimes we'll be like, this character would really make sense for them to have a direct damage power, but you know, red isn't one of their colors. That's a bad example. But sometimes we find ourselves with like this would be a really cool mechanic for the character to have, but I can't really fit it into what colors we would like for them to have. So in that case, we will sometimes change their colors, but more often than not, we'll change the mechanic. More likely, what we will do is change the story, so the flavor text like of the power will kind of dictate what direction the power goes, even if the mechanic wouldn't usually fit that color.
Sure.
Trying to think of an example, and I cannot think of any at the moment. But
okay,
that's all right. I wanted to try to throw you a lifeline, but I got nothing. it was a genuine question. I was like, oh.
All right, next thing I got is from Shard Attack. He said, can you rerun the Webbed Wonder event, but with the new hot Aunt May for reasons?
His reasons are bad. He should feel bad.
I think you're the only person who doesn't like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. Oh, I love Marissa Tomei. I don't want her as Aunt May. Get back to me when she's 20 years older than what she is right now.
So the only way that might happen is like if we do like a rerun of the event for the digital or physical release of the Homecoming event. But the chances of that actually happening would be really, really slim. If you don't have existing art and say, let's change it.
So he starts off with, this is not a troll question. Jennifer Glenn asks, can we please have a rerun of the boss rush at some point with the difficulty scaled down?
I don't know. it probably would make more sense for us to just make a brand new event at this point, to be completely honest.
I did not expect that answer. Okay.
Like we ran the Homecoming event and it used a lot of elements from boss rush and they were very well received, so I imagine that we'd be doing something similar if we want to do another boss rush type of event.
Yeah, Homecoming was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
Which one was that?
The one that just ended, Ian.
Oh, the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a delight. Thanks.
Yeah, actually, there was a comment about that as well. Jordan from Jersey, has the success of Sinister Six boss event made it more likely that future boss events will also include new quote unquote puzzle elements like some of those bosses? So basically, since there's a lot of different puzzly type stuff in the Sinister Six, are we going to be seeing more of that?
Well, yeah, like the Doc Ock mechanic and stuff was fun. You had to get rid of these tiles to get to stop the bomb to do the, you know,
I think we've shown in the past to, for those events to have a lot of like puzzliness. Like if you look at the Thanos event, like yeah. there's kind of like a puzzle around matching the gauntlet tiles and
Caecilius.
Yeah, Galactus and Ultron and Caecilius. I mean, they all seem to have like very puzzly. And in my heart of hearts, I think that's really what we were trying to do with the original boss rush as well. So
I think that's funny. Desert Tortoise said Sinister Six was basically fixed boss rush. I find that interesting.
I liked boss rush the first time around.
I did too, but I mean, it was rough. But
yeah, that's okay. Games can be hard.
Right, exactly. Captain Nerd Rage asked, how is it decided which characters see are boosted each week? And as a follow-up, workshops, can you mix up who's boosted with who? It's been the same for a while. Like Iceman is always with Big Pun.
Yes, for the most part, the buffs are kind of on a rotation based on who was least featured, like who's due to come back up. And by nature, that means that, you know, some characters will be like in the same week. Sometimes we'll swap it out if a character is due to be featured in a PvE event, we'll swap it out for someone else. If the featured list would have two of the same character, like two of the same variants, I'll swap it out for someone else. But for the most part, I try and keep that as automated as possible, just because it's easier for me. But I try and mix it up every now and again. Or it also gets mixed up from those things every now and again as well.
Cool. I think we're getting a little, I don't want to keep you guys too long, but I want to, a couple people, I want to throw a couple questions in. Jeff Metzner asked, will the Fantastic Four Silver Surfer characters remain available in the game for the foreseeable future? And he asked this because there's another Marvel game where they actually got pulled and you can't play those characters anymore.
Wow. No, there's no intentions of removing any characters from the game at this point.
Sure.
That would make us very sad.
Yeah. I assumed and hoped that that was the answer, but thank you for making sure. Jordan from Jersey also asks, next time that the Howard, Bagman, etc. are available for an event, is there any chance that we can get bonus rewards for them for that limited window?
What do you mean by bonus rewards?
Like make them a bonus hero for the duration that they are available.
Right.
But then make that go away when that's over.
Ooh, that sounds messy. I doubt that we would do that, but anything's possible.
I love that now. New catchphrase.
Desert Tortoise asks for a question for Tim. What is your second favorite animation in the game after four-star Rocket Groot's green?
Well, I really like what we did with classic Dr. Octopus. I really like where the tentacles come up and they're just, it's, you just see the tentacles and they kind of go back and forth and they just fly across the bottom. The other one I really liked that was a recent one was Sandman, where he does the sandblast where he comes up and he's like really big and he shoots down that big cannon of sand. I think that one's really, really fun too.
Nice. I have to say that, I don't know if you were involved, but the new Vulture animations, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Vulture. I'm just going to throw that out there. I thought it was good in the movie, and I really like the new character. So,
cool. Thank you.
Edward the Iron Giant asks, can you give us an option to reset the prologue, maybe a new difficulty levels based on clearance level or something else we can work on when there's nothing else going on?
What? I get it, but I'm baffled.
I think that if we were going to do something with the prologue to something that extent, we would like have it like a heroic version. So like you wouldn't be playing the same thing over again, but it would be like the new harder version where you can go through and get like better rewards.
Okay. Man, there's some stuff being posted now that has way too much text to it. So I'm going to try and get through what we have right here. Jenna McGlynn asks, can anyone speak to the recent character surveys? Any surprise answers on your end, or do these results always largely match what the previous surveys were?
I think there's lots of surprises to them. At this point, I don't think we're really able to speak much about it. I don't think it was anything like really obvious. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I don't know of any like particular ones. It was always, before I used to run them, you could write in whatever one, and it was always really surprising how many people wanted Batman and Superman in the game.
Uh, Smacks. Oh, no, Brigby's trolling and he wants a prize. He submitted a question. I don't know if you can see it there, Tim. Brigby wants to know, what's your favorite non-digital art medium you like to use?
I like graphite.
No prize for you, Brigby.
So, hopefully I covered most of the questions that are here. I don't understand this question, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. Captain Nerd Rage asks, can we change BH to target specific colors? Is it mechanically possible to do so? So I guess that's bonus heroes. Now I understand it, now that I actually put a voice to it. Can bonus heroes target specific colors?
Yeah, at this point, there's no... we can't do that in-game, but like, it's coding. Anything's possible.
There you go.
I think we did an entire show where that's your answer for everything.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I used to be an engineer, so.
All right. Ray, if you've made it through most of the questions.
If I've missed some, I apologize. The ones that I asked, I recorded, and we'll be sending to you to see about distributing some different rewards.
Yeah. Well, Patch had some trivia. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
I said he was coming up with trivia. I didn't say he had.
I couldn't come up with any trivia, but I have a non-Marvel related trivia question. Ooh. When did the Battle of the Alamo end?
As everyone
no one's allowed to use Bing.
Googles.
you got me. So we'll see if anybody has an answer.
I think more specific trivia question. What was the latest dog breed to be released in the game?
What?
I don't have any idea what that means.
What? You don't know what a dog breed is?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, no.
He's asking what breed of dog is Pizza Dog. I don't know.
Stax wins.
Oh, the Cork.
The alternate art for Mockingbird includes a corgi.
Oh.
Give that man a prize. Stax, is that your like in-game name?
And everybody else says the battle for the Alamo has never ended.
No, it totally ended. March 6th, 1836.
You got that, Ray? It's Stax the Foyer? I don't know.
No. Okay. I do have that now, yes.
Okay. You got more?
I don't know. Yeah, I thought Ray was about done with questions. I thought we were going to start awarding some prizes.
Yeah, I figured we're going long on time at this point, and we're good on... I think we covered almost all the questions. If I missed anybody, I apologize.
Right, especially to the arcane poser, but as you pointed out, your formatting was poor, and we couldn't read fast enough.
Yeah, sure.
That's what he said, and I agreed. I just didn't have time to type back, and I generally like him and all his questions, but...
Oh, I see the corgi down there.
Ah. I really like that that artwork. That is awesome. I didn't know she even had a corgi. I was lost.
She shows
it. So overjoyed. There's mare corgis in that comic series.
Nice.
All right, Ray, you got some people to claim as winners.
Oh, am I doing that?
You've got the list because no one else bothered to keep track.
Okay, sure. So are we starting with the trivia then? The trivia questions. We had 10 trivia questions, and I just want to go over the answers real quick. And so people know what questions they missed. Hey, I don't have the questions in front of me. I only have the answers.
What is it, Jeopardy?
Hank, did I email them to you?
Yeah, you did.
But, start with something. If you start with something else, I can pull them up.
Well, they're on the Google Drive, aren't they? No?
No.
Oh.
If Ray starts with the artwork and or the
Yeah, why don't we song? Do that? So we'll claim the winner of the artwork first. So this was very difficult. And I would we do the honorable mentions first. First, I loved the vulture. Love is be a vulture tonight, the Mallrats reference. I thought that was fantastic. And I also wanted to mention Seth, who posted Spider Kid and his design for Spider Kid to have a kid character in the game. I would point out, though, that we do have a few kid characters. Like Nova is pretty much just a little kid. There are a few characters that are really young in the game, but wanted to point out his. But the winner of the artwork is going to be the MPQ and PW3 banner, which was submitted by Jenda McGlynn.
Hey, go Jenda!
Fanfare, fireworks.
Craig, do you want to do the song? Because they submitted the song to you.
Sure. I'm gonna open it back up now. Because there was a couple of them I wanted to mention. All right, so we had some great submittals. I'm going to get back around to a few of these and sing them later, I promise. But honorable mention time, I enjoyed our good friend Eric from Cincinnati, his The Cray Craig Life featuring from Bruno Mars's That's What I Like. That one was pretty enjoyable. As always, just because we love, you know, the powers of Foreigner. Jeff Brandon's five-star hero to the tune of Jukebox Hero is always good. And to the tune of Kung Fu Fighting, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, was Khonshu Fighting, featuring the Croissant Thrower. But the winner, because, man, this was a lot of work. D-Wing Illinois, frequent commenter, submitted his Fugue for the Puzzle Warriors from some good tune of Fugue for Tin Horns from Guys and Dolls. And he broke it all up into three-part harmony with all the lyrics. So I'll try and convince Rainey to sing along one night.
We'll try to get it together for the next show or two. I'm not sure which.
But congratulations to D-Wheel Ganoi, who is CMPK in the game. A prize will be coming your way.
All right. And as far as the trivia went, Ray, am I correct in believing that the winner was the person we discussed earlier who got 9.5 points?
No. We had one person who got 10, oh, okay. 10 for 10.
Okay, good. That's fine. So,
but if you have the questions up.
I do. Here come the questions and the answers. Question number one, according to Craig, what is the best and only ketchup on the market? The correct answer is Heinz. Heinz ketchup. According to Craig and Ian, what is the correct term for a beverage commonly made from cola, sugar, water, and caramel coloring? The correct answer is pop. Number three was Ian has only two championed four-star characters. Who are they? Ralk and Hulkbuster. Let's see. When Craig delivers a confused show intro, what are the Ian and Ray alternate screen names? We would accept Chaos Snevendy Snoo or Sneaky Feet or Stinky Feet 23 or Sneaky Pete 23. None of which are our actual screen names. Who was our first guest on the show? And it was Joe Fletcher. Oh, what was the original title of the song that Craig parodied that, caused us to be fined for copyright infringement, and that's Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins, I believe.
Yep.
What is the name of the convention that causes Craig and Ray to abandon this show once a year and leave it all up to me? BlizzCon. BlizzCon is the convention. What is the name of the alliance founded by our wives? The MPQ Widows. And let's see. For approximately his first year of play, Craig only used three characters. Who were they? Scarlet Witch, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Three-star and three-star versions.
Yep,
what was the 10th question that we added? Mine does not contain this.
The 10th question was, who's been on the show more, Joe, our friend Joe, or Demiurge?
What was the answer? Probably Demiurge.
The answer is Demiurge.
Yeah. I mean,
they have been so gracious and been on the show so many times.
All right. So the winner of the Puzzle Warriors trivia contest, I'm just going to risk it, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's none other than Bang Bang, Cactus Jack.
You were correct.
All right.
10 for 10.
10 for 10. There was a close second. Someone got 9.5 out of 10, calling our first guest Jim Fletcher. Missed it by just that much. That's a tough nut to swallow.
There will be a T-shirt coming Cactus Jack's way. From the Puzzle Warriors.
Yeah. So
contact Ray with your shipping info.
Yeah, exactly. Contact me and tell me what your address is so I can send you a T-shirt.
We'll try to make it say Bang Bang.
It already does.
There is one of those. He wants a T-shirt of the Dazzler cover. I don't know if they'll let us do that. I don't know how much you can put on those shirts.
Yeah, they get a little crazy when you start putting faces.
That's a lot of colors.
Well, that's true, but when you put faces on it, then you get into some issues. You have to prove that those faces are yours.
Yeah.
Which you might not be able to do.
I don't know. There's a mask on one of them. So, there you go. That was our trivia.
Oh, good. So is that... Is that everything? Is this the part where we thank Demiurge most of all, the community a little bit less, and then Craig?
Ray, did you mark some questions that you thought were worthy of prizes?
No, we're going to have to discuss that later. Are you kidding? I was busy jumping. Did you see the number of questions?
Yeah, there really wasn't a time when Discord didn't say several people typing all at once.
That's true.
No, we'll have to go through them and see what we get. There were some very good questions, though. Some questions I wasn't expecting, and some very good discussion. So,
but if you were on tonight and you heard your question, there's a chance that you will get a surprise in your game box sometime.
If we don't know you and we don't know your in-game name, I guess we'll try to contact the people we don't know via Discord chat.
Yeah, definitely. If we said your name and you don't have your in-game name as your name on Discord, message us. You can message us on the Puzzle Warriors 3 webpage. You can send a message, email. Email chaos72@puzzlewarriors3.com.
There you go. Anthony, Patch, Tim, you got anything else? What do you want to throw out? Some random trivia question where the answer is always Lake Titicaca, just like the original version of Trivial Pursuit.
That was a strange reference. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the original Genius Edition?
Stop him. Just stop him. You were just throwing it to our guests and they were going to send us out.
Well, the answer is like Titicaca. It's a thing. You know, he had a weird Alamo question. I don't know. I thought maybe he had something else.
I'm just hurting. You were like, hey guys, let me throw it over to you. Well, I'll just talk over you while you're trying to do that, but... Like Titicaca. my scourge.
You know, it's fun to say.
It's hard.
In any case, people will be getting in-game prizes. Thank you to the folks at Demiurge who will be providing those. So in the next couple of days, hopefully we'll get the list over to Anthony and you'll get a surprise, you know, either if not this week, early next week maybe, to pop up in your basket of goodies.
Yeah, give me everyone's name that we talked about during the show and everyone that gave you the trivia contest stuff, and we'll make sure everyone gets happy little prizes.
Yeah. So there should be, you know, some stuff coming your way. It'll be some ISO, it'll be some hero points, and maybe some covers.
Who knows?
Could be anything. Yeah. It could be a boat.
Anything's possible.
That's right. We just got to code it first and we'll do it. Of course, now I'm going to be the one that has to code it, which is... All right, it's been great, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
As always, we always appreciate you guys taking the time that you stay late after work and hang out to chat with us. You know, you guys don't have to do that, but we really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. We love being here.
Congratulations on 100 episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Woo! Syndication in a movie. Here we come.
I thought we had to get the 6 seasons first.
Okay.
We're only on like season 2.
I just, after 100 episodes.
Well, I don't know. What's in a TV season? 15 episodes?
Yeah, I would usually say 12 or 13, depending on what station it runs on.
Okay, so 12, that would be 72 episodes. It'd be 6 seasons then.
Mm-hmm.
So we're way past.
Yeah, we're due to be
fired. Man, we're like the Simpsons. We've got
you can make a lot more in syndication. We are due to be fired and just left to reruns.
That's true.
Are you guys going to just keep incrementing the number, or are you like going to prestige and go back to 1?
Well, no, we have to wait till we get to some weird number like Marvel does and then, you know, jump ahead to like 300 all at once. we'll just slightly change the name of the show a couple, 3 times, and then once, you know, those all add up to 200, we'll just have the bounce back 200th episode with the original name. Oh, yeah. I think that's all we got. I got no, man, I didn't even make a clue for next week's person, so bad on me.
It's okay. This is the best clue ever. It's very open.
The clue is there will be a feature character next week.
Yeah. We'll be back our regular time Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Same bat time, same bat channel?
Back to the original bat time and bat channel, yes.
Again, we're going crossing genres here, going over to DC. So.
You know, what you gonna do?
No. All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We really appreciated all the stuff. We could not, you know, there's so much going on in Discord. It was crazy good. So.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Thanks, good friends. Good night.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
Yeah.